Christ is coming back. I'm excited about that. That's the hope of my life. I'm looking for that. I live for that. I praise for that. I worship for that. I'm looking for that blessed appearing. For the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to come back the second time for those that look for Him. You better be looking for Him. Praise God. I'm expecting something awesome to happen here today. I come standing on tiptoes of expectancy every time I come to church. Expecting God to do the miraculous. The supernatural. The stupendous. I'm believing God. Just take the limits off of the Lord and say, I believe you can do anything today. Praise God. I'm just so thrilled. One old preacher said, I'm awesomized by such an awesome touch of the Holy Ghost that I feel. I would not be half of what I am, and those of you that know me know I'm telling the truth. I wouldn't be half of what I am if it wasn't for my good wife. I thank God for her. And I love her very, very much. And I thank God for her. Praise God. And if I got her up here to testify, you'd say, I know who pastored that church now. And I know who the preacher is there. And you know that's right. And the church folks at Parkway know that's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for all the saints of God from our church. We appreciate them and all the wonderful things that's happening. And wasn't that beautiful last night? Brother Travis, Sister Travis, you deserve 10 times. I wish we could have done so much more for you. But I thank you for your effort, for all that you've done. And words and accolades could not be given to the dedication and devotion of 21 and a half years that he put in this district. And I'm going to just tell you, I really feel this in my heart. I feel this, that the best days in this district is yet to come. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. This tabernacle's not going to hold the camp meetings in just a few years. I believe that. Did you notice last night there were folks that couldn't find a seat? I'm telling you, this place was packed jam last night. It was just glorious. And Brother Carney, I thank God that you picked up this mantle and you're going on. To this wonderful district board, these are some of the best friends I've got in the world. And I mean that. We have busy schedules. We get so strung out. And I told the church, I said, I've run my battery down, blowing my horn and my own taillights. And when you get like that, you're too busy. I promise you. But we are very busy people. But I thank God for this district. I just wanted to just kind of slow down and just tell you that I didn't get here by myself. And nobody's arrived at where you are by yourself. You're all here because of somebody else. I lived with Brother and Sister Travis for about a year. And they put up with a lot. I'd go hunting, I'd kill game. She said, son, there's enough feathers on these birds to fly off. I thought you cleaned them. But she taught me some good traits. I still help my wife make the bed, by the way, Sister Travis. Praise God. Hallelujah. I tell you, I'm just about to explode up here because I know what the Holy Ghost is about to do here today. I know what God's fixed to do in this house. Praise God. Praise God. I'm looking in the Word of the Lord today, and I thank you for the opportunity. I did not seek for this. I assure you, I didn't want to do this. No preacher wants to preach in his home district camp meeting, and but I'm doing the very best I can. I've learned a long time ago, if you're going to do it with everything you got. Just do it with all you got. You say, well, you'll just wear out. No, sir. You may be wrong there. Did you know the guy that invented jogging died of a heart attack? And Fats Domino's still alive. He's still eating French fries. And the guy that got out there and started. Hallelujah. Well, I'll just leave that one where it's at. Thank God. It may pay you to give it everything you got. Did you know that? It just might do that. Genesis chapter 49. You're reading at verse number 8 of Genesis chapter 49, Brother Huntley. such powerful preaching, Brother Kraft. You are stirring our hearts and teaching us to beware lest we're deceived. But we're looking here today, and I'm going to preach something that I feel in my spirit. Genesis chapter 49, and begin reading at verse number 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's house shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion swept from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion. As an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him, to Judah, shall the gathering of the people be. They're all going to come to Judah. It's all going to be like a magnet from Judah, drawn into Judah. But I want you to notice something here, a very sobering scripture that I found in this word, Numbers 26 and verse number 19. It looked like that the descendants of Judah appraise. It didn't turn out the way Judah intended. But let's look here. Verse 19, the sons of Judah were and Onan. And and Onan died in the land of Canaan. They died in the land of Canaan. The scepter's not going to depart, though. Now, that's a promise. Somebody say, that's a promise. The word said it's not going to depart. And to him shall the gathering of the people be. I'm going to preach today with the help of the Lord on the subject of the resurrection of a wasted seed. The resurrection of a wasted seed. Everybody say that. The resurrection of a wasted seed. I want you to put your Bibles down, lift your hands to heaven, and let's go to God right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your power, your presence that I feel in this house. Let the glory and the anointing of God saturate our hearts. Prepare us for thy word. Open our hearts to the word of God. And let it become a light and a lamp to us, Lord, that we might see the pitfalls. That we might walk through this world victoriously. Living for you, serving you. Oh, walking in the hope of your coming. In Jesus' name, I thank you right now. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord and give him that praise today. Would you do it? Come on, do it one more time for the Lord. Would you do that? Come on, praise God. You can be seated. God bless you is our prayer. We see the establishing of a nation, the birth of a promised and blessed people. Their origin came from a divine wrestling match that caused an identity change. As an angel said, your name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. For like a prince, you're going to have power with God. That divine wrestling match also caused the touch of God in this man's life. Not only to affect him, but to affect an entire people. Because when the angel touched the hollow of his thigh, the Bible said that he halted or he dragged that leg wherever he went. Now, can you imagine the people that sojourning through the land would come across a crossroads and see, look here, Jacob's been here. Look here, he dragged that leg across the path that we've trod today. Let me tell you something, folks. The touch of God will cause you to leave a mark in this generation and to the posterity that is to come. I want to leave a mark for my children and my children's children. That the touch of God's going to be passed on, not just to me, but I've got a hold of something that has touched me. I've got a hold of something that has indelibly touched my life. And I'm leaving a mark wherever I go. I might drag that leg, but I'm telling you, it's speaking of a touch of God. It's talking about what God has done in my heart and in my life. And it's going to touch the generation that crosses that path, praise God. I don't care what you say about me, but I want to be a praise. Woo! Hallelujah. I got a hold of something that changed my life one night. And I can't help it, folks. I'm going to praise and magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. For you see, Jacob was born 12 sons, which were called the 12 tribes of Israel. And isn't it amazing that out of the midst of this progeny would step a son that would not be like any of the other boys? The fourth son of Jacob loved to praise the Lord. You know, you think that all those who came out of such a lineage will love to praise God. But let me tell you something. You believe everybody baptized in Jesus' name had the Holy Ghost will love to do it, but they don't. You think that anybody that came out of this lineage would love to praise God. Let me tell you something. We've got a heritage. We've got something that has been put in us because we've been born again of the water and of the Spirit, and my name has been changed. I'm not who they say I am. I'm who He says I am. And you will never know who you are till you know whose you are. Well, I know whose I am today. I said, I know I belong to Him. And if I belong to Him, I got a name change. And I can't help it. I act the way I do because something on the inside of me says, I got to praise the Lord. They called him Judah. But we all know that Judah means, somebody say, praise. Now, all of these boys were to be blessed with an inheritance. But none of them are going to be blessed like Judah. For the scepter shall not depart. The word scepter means royal authority. Royal authority. Did you know you've got not just authority, you've got royal authority. You are ambassador to the king. And you have been given credentials. And you are marked that when you walk in, they say, oh, he's in charge here. Hey, he's like the general that walks in, the private's got a salute. It's commanded that they do it. And let me tell you, there's royal authority given to people that are born to praise. You see, the royal authority shall not depart from those who praise. Authority is given to people that praise God. Let me tell you, I've learned this. Folks who are healed are usually those who praise. Folks, God, that if you get blessed, you're usually going to be a praiser because your blessing's got to get to you. And to get to you, it's got to come through your praise. I've learned that praise is the key that turns the engine on. You can sit down a Cadillac, but if you don't turn the engine on, you ain't going nowhere. And praise will turn your engine on, brother. It'll activate all the power of heaven and earth. It'll cause healing to come. It'll cause deliverance to come. If you're not a praiser, you're going to be left out. But I want to stop now and ask you a question. If the devil's going to fight anybody, guess who it's going to be? He puts a target on the back of the praisers. He doesn't mind if any of the other boys gets blessed, if Simeon or Levi or Reuben or Gad, and they pass on material blessings of lands or goods. But the devil's going to target praise. You hear me? Hell hates praise. So he sets about to stop the seed of praise from being passed on. Hey, Judah, it's not enough for you to praise. But God wants praise to be passed on to your seed. In my travels across the nation, I found this to be so true and so real. Hell has targeted praisers. And I'm going to tell you, folks, he's trying to keep this praise from being passed on. I've said it before, but I got to say it again. You can't tell them how to do it. You got to show them how to do it. You've got to show your children that you're a praiser. You know how to do that? Not like this. Not like this. Not like this. Huh? Not like this. You do it like this. Lifting holy hands to the Lord without wrath or doubting. Clap your hands, all you people. You got to show your children how to praise God. I feel this in Jesus' name. You see, Judah means praise, and praise has always had a strategic place. Judah's allotted place at the tabernacle was on the east side. You preached it. I know you have. They were the first to see the sun rise with healings in his wings. They were the first. Hey, they were right at the door to the tabernacle. In other words, when they stepped out, they had access
to God. They were the first that had access to God. Praisers are the first ones to see His power. Praisers are the first ones that have access to His glory. You got access to His blessings. You got access to all that belongs to Him. Because you've got to understand that you're a praiser and you've got royal authority, and the scepter's not going to part from you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. The devil does not like people that praise God. And we've got some territory that we own. Did you know that God has allotted us, has some properties that belongs to praise, and we've got to understand that it's ours and it doesn't belong to hell, and we're going to have it, praise God. I found this just the other day. 1 Samuel 17:1. Let me tell you, the enemy is going to try to take from us what belongs to us. Hey, you, anybody a praiser here? If you're a praiser, you got royal authority. You got royal authority. And you own this place, brother. You're not, hey, you own this place. The devil's the one, he's an alien. He's the one that's an alien. You own the place, praise God. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Who were they fighting? They were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to who? Belongeth to who? It belonged to praise. This is praise territory. Hey, it belongs to praise. Hey, it's not anybody else's territory. It belongs to praise. But the devil said, I'm going to try to take it from them. I'm going to try to take this from them. Because the devil recognized the power in this. When I look this up, Shoko means hedge. Everybody say hedge. Did you know that the devil's trying to take the hedge from around the people of God? But when I praise God, I said, when I praise God, God puts a hedge around about me. Do you know why Job had a hedge around him? All his material things were taken from him. But he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. Woman, you can just curse God and hey, you can just settle down and act like a fool if you want to. But I'm going to praise God though he take everything I got. I'm going to praise God. And the Lord said, because he did that, I put a hedge around it. You want a hedge around you? You want a hedge around your family? You want a hedge around your children? You're going to have to learn to praise. I'm telling you, if you want a hedge around your life, if you want a hedge around your generation, you've got to learn to praise God. The Philistines is after our hedge. And there is a difference between Egypt and Israel. God does place a difference between us. We're not like the world. We don't act like the world. We don't love what they love. We don't go where they go. You know why? Because we got a hedge around us. And praise did it. I'm not through. He said we're after your hedge. But we're also after Azekah. Azekah means plow. Somebody say plow. Somebody say plow. Because let me tell you something, folks. God knows that if you don't plow, you can't plant. It's impossible for a man of God to bring the Word of God and just drop it on cement. I don't care how good a sermon you got. You can't drop this word on cement. If you drop this thing on cement, you're wasting your time and your effort. You know what hell wants to take? Hell wants to take our ability to plow. Because when you plow, you can plant. And let me tell you what praise is. That's why we got worship. That's why we got singing. That's why we got praise before we got preaching. Because it knows that praise plows. Well, you know what I'm trying to get you to do right now? Is to plow up your new ground. Plow up your new ground. You need to learn how to plow. You learn how to plow. You need to learn how to break up the fallow ground. That the Word can take lodge in that ground. Did you know Jeremiah 26:18 said Zion shall be plowed? Zion is going to be plowed. Honey, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, get ready. If you're a true apostolic, you The prophet said, Judah shall plow. Judah's going to plow. Get ready. Praisers are going to be so ready for the Word of God and so excited about what God is doing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, we plow in hope. Woo! Do you know praisers have got a hope? You can see it in their eyes. My God, when they walk in church, you can see it in the way they look and the way they walk in, because you plow in hope. I'm plowing today. When I say hallelujah, I'm plowing in hope. When I holler glory to God, I'm plowing in hope. Oh, come on. Hang up. When you see me out in the aisle, I'm plowing in hope. The Philistine is after your hedge, and the Philistine is after your plow. But he said he's after Ephesdomen. Ephesdomen, when I looked it up, oh, get ready. Ephesdomen means boundaries of blood drops. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. I'm here because of the blood. I don't know about you. I don't know how you can sit there and think of the Lord dying and shedding His blood, that your blood was propitiated, and you could have deliverance and freedom and victory and power, and you live in defeat. Oh, God, let me tell you something. Honey, amen. God drew a line. And God said, I got a boundary of blood drop. It's like the old black flag commercial. Hey, and when I read that, they ran, the fly was flying and hit it, went bang, fell. Said, this stuff just kills me. Honey, the devil flew in the boundary of blood drop, and he said, oh my God, what did I just hit? This stuff just kills me. Hey, I'm gonna tell you what it is. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It still redeems. It still sets free. It'll still bring victory. I'm preaching, my God, I'm preaching. I'm preaching in the Holy Ghost right now. And somebody better recognize the enemy is trying to take the properties of praise. Wow! If you're covered by the blood, you ought to be on the aisle right now. Say, you ain't taking that, Bubba. You're not getting that from me. My God, the blood, the blood, the blood. It's the blood. I still preach about the blood, don't you? But the enemy's trying to take that. He's trying to take the hedge, the plow, and the blood from the church. So hell targets praise. It's got a target. And Brother Scope's not off either. He tries to bring something in your life that will affect your praise. He wants to introduce you to something or somebody who will affect your praise. Genesis, let me tell you. There are people that are not conducive to praise. I'm sorry to tell you that. If I was a saint of God, I wouldn't sit in some place in the church. Because it's the dead zone, brother. And the dead zone turns into twilight zone. And I'm here to tell you one thing. I'm not sitting there. They're too dead for me. There's some spots in the church you couldn't throw a devil in there if you tried to. You know why? Because, honey, woo! Hey, they got the hedge, they got the plow, and they got the blood. And the devil ain't gonna take it from them either. But I've watched good saints of God. Good saints of God. The journey. Sister Travis, you're so right. As time goes on, they get cynical and bitter. And the enemy introduces into your spirit something. Look at Genesis 38 and 1. And let's just read this. Now this is Judah on the journey here now, okay? It came to pass that time that Judah went down. He's on his journey from his brethren. He left his brethren. It is important to stay with your brethren. Brother Connie, this district is going all the way if the brethren will stay with one another. If we'll bind together, Brother Travis, with one another, district board, with one another, and quit yeah, and pulling one way or the other, and just all get together and stay together. And let me tell you something. When you start going down, somebody say down. So I say down. You begin to get in trouble. And turned in to a certain Adullamite. Everybody say he was dull. He was dull. Isn't it amazing that when praise got separated from his brethren and started going down, he got introduced to a dull spirit. And praise became dull. It is the danger in Pentecost for your praise to become dull. Back to the feeling you first had when you first got in church. You say, well, I'm old now and I can't do it. Let me, it has nothing to do with in that mind right there. I'm going to say, I've seen people that when you looked at them, they were shouting with their eyes. They might have been on a walker, praise God, but they were shouting in their eyes. I've got saints of God that turned me on when I'm preaching and they're 90. I got one lady 98 years old and at 95 she run the aisle. I'm serious. Is that true? Is that true? At 95, she runs. And you know right now, I can look over there, and when I look at her, she goes. And you sit there like a wooden Indian. Huh? God. Ooh, I'm about to blow up here. I'm sorry, folks. I'm fixing to have a Holy Ghost breakout right now. Ooh, when your praise gets dull, when your praise gets dull, you better look out. You say, I'm not worried. I'm not stressed out. I know where I'm going. I know what the Holy Ghost is fixing to do here. I'm begging the saints of God in this church, if you got to go on a fast, if you got to set a regimen of prayer meetings. Our people gather at the church from 5 to 7 every morning. Sister Jordan have been doing it for months, Brother Jordan. Hey, from 5 to 7. We've been gathering up there praying. You know why? I don't want our praise to get dull. I walked in the county co-op back sometime. And I was over there purchasing something. An old man with a straw hat and overalls walked in. And he said, hi, preacher. How you doing? I said, doing good. He said, you know, I need to tell you something. Took his old hat off. Had a red bandana and wiped his brow. He said, you know I raise chickens for a hobby, right? But did you know this morning something amazing happened at the chicken coop? I went down to feed my chickens. And for the first time that since I had them, they didn't get excited about being fed. And I said, what'd you say? He said, they didn't get excited about being fed. I looked in there and they had the beats under their wings. That old subdued spirit. Every once in a while, I want to peek out behind his wing. Sure. But he shut up real quick for some reason. Every once in a while, I want to kind of do and quiver. And I'm going, what in the world's going on? He said, I knew something was wrong when they didn't get excited about being fed. Turn the light on, Bubba. Hey, something wrong with some people that walk in your church that don't get excited about being fed. That's the number one criteria in finding out if something's wrong in the chicken coop. It's when they don't get excited about being fed. If there ever wasn't a... I'm not talking about running. Some of you think that Parkway is the wildest place on... Let me tell you something. I preach balance. You got to have balance. It ain't all in a shout, but I'm like Brother Travis. It's not all in sitting there either. But when the Word of God goes for it, I teach my people, if you shout during the singing of the choir, you better shout during the preaching of the Word. Because when the Word goes for it, there needs to be an excitement level to hit the house of God. He said, I bumped that coop, I shook that joker, I bumped it, and still, that old subdued spirit. Anybody ever run into that spirit? You know, chirp, 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 chirp. And once in a while, I want to do a little something. Go, wow, wasn't that great? But there's something wrong. He said, I lifted the lid. He said, the largest chicken snake I'd ever seen in my life was caught up in that cup. It only ate a couple of chicks. You know those chicks that won't get involved, the rest of the saints. You know those that won't ever come to prayer meeting. You know those that talk about the pastor and live on the periphery. He's never eaten those. They like to chirp with other birds, but the snake's going to get you. That's what's going to happen. There's a snake waiting for you to gobble you up if you don't get involved in what's going on in the church of the living God. He said, I went last, got my little pistol. Had it in my old, I could just about see. And brother, I cocked it. You devil, you. You ain't going to do this to my chickens. Bless your heart, I'm going to blow your brains out. Pow! I missed him the first shot. I could tell my chickens were excited. I was trying to get rid of him, but one of them said, ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-doo. I cocked it again. Pow! I got him that time. He said he wriggled, and the chicken just slept, and he just wobbled and slapped them all against the side of the coop. That's exactly what the devil does. He's a wounded devil, but he slaps you all upside the coop and just bat them all around. But they were just all subdued. They didn't do what you want to. He said, when I raked that snake out, he said, I'm telling you, preacher, and I'm writing all the time. Keep talking, Papa. Keep talking. He said, a chicken jumped right out in the middle and said, charge! And he said, I'm telling you, it looked like a protracted meeting that they were having down in the chicken coop. He said, about that time, one jumped up and said, another said, next thing you know, they were jumping and a cackling and a running all around that chicken coop. And he said, preacher, revival broke out in the chicken coop today. Hey, you don't know what I'm preaching, but Jesus and I gather you together, the hen does gather her little chickens. But you would not. But I'm fixing to rephrase that today. He brought me here, and I am. I am. You know why I am? I've got rid of the devil. I put him out of my life, and I'm going to have revival. I'm going to have a move of the Holy Ghost. Hey, come on, I can't hear you. But somebody ought to be shouting, praise the God right now. Woo! There goes one. I got him out of my life. I'm not going to let him win. I'm going to have your revival. I'm going to have a move of God. Hey, it don't matter if you sit there, what you want to do, but I'm here to tell you right now, I'm fixing to get rid of this devil out of my life. Come on. I think revival can break out in the daytime at camp meeting. Let God get out there and get rid of that devil out of your life. Come on, get rid of that devil out of your spirit. Come on. Somebody ought to jump up and say, charge! I've been subdued too long. I've been subdued too long. Let me tell you something, preacher. You want your saints to shout, you better get to shouting. You sit back there like some kind of stew pigeon. You act like some kind of statue and you expect them to turn somersaults. It ain't going to happen, brother. You better make up your mind that praise is not going to be dull with me either. I'm not going to let my praise get dull. I'm not going to let my church service get dull. We can't let it get dull in our life. Charge! Hallelujah. Oh, come on, get rid of that influence in your life that's trying to cause you to have a subdued spirit. Let me tell you something. In many years of pastoring, I've learned one thing. One vital lesson that is so simple but so true. If people don't praise God somehow, there is a snake somewhere in their cub. Why, I'm a mature saint. That's close to being rotten. I am educated. You can have a DD, a LTD, and not have a JOB. That's a job. Let me tell you something, people. Hey, let me tell you what. You never educate yourself out of praising and magnifying God. You never get so mature and so knowledgeable that you can sit back there and not do one little thing. Because if you do, friend, it will not stop there. It won't quit. When praise becomes dull, it's fixing to introduce you to something that you're going to have to live with. You're going to have to live with it. Now, you hear me? Oh, my God, I feel this in the Holy Ghost right now. Shut up, God. Thank you, Mr. I feel this. Raise your hands to the Lord right now. My God. Listen, somebody's checking their spirit right now. Why has praise become so dull? Why has praise become so dull in my life? Oh God, oh God, oh God, why has praise become so dull in my spirit? Come on, people. Come on, people. Why has praise become so dull to me?
What's the next verse I got up there? Yeah.
He cuts your cut all over here. I refuse to live for God and have the Holy Ghost now for 30 some years and let this thing get dull to me. Let me tell you, the Bible said that there was a young lady introduced to Judah. Her name was Shua. Somebody say Shua. Somebody say Shua. Everybody say Shh. Say it again. Shh. It went from dull to quiet. And it was the time when praise became unequally yoked. Because he left his brother and went down and was introduced to a dull spirit that introduced him to something that came into his life and he married. Shh. Can you hear the wedding? Here's the wedding. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Praise, do you take to be your lawful wedded wife? He should have said no. Praise, are you going to live the rest of your life with this? Shh. He should have said, I wasn't put here to live with all my life. He should have looked at that unequally yoked spirit and said, I'm not going to live my life in a dead situation. The scepter's not going to depart from me. How can I be unequally yoked with this spirit? Let me tell you something, people. When the devil tries to bring deadness into our church, we ought to say, will you take this? Somebody say no! When he tries to cause my life to be joined together with spirits that try to sedate me, ought to say, no. What? No. What? No. What? No. You ought to look at that devil and say, I'm not married into that. I'm not married into that family. Because I wasn't put here to be dull. And I am not going to marry the spirit. And Judah saw a certain daughter of a Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went into her. You cannot be joined together with this quiet spirit. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hey, if the devil tries to cause your church to die up and dry up, you ought to say,
no.
Say what?
No.
Say what?
No.
I'm a Pentecostal apostolic church, and we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival. The mother has an awful lot of bearing on the son. You hear me? He married her. That woman right over there has had a lot of bearings on my two boys. You hear me? A lot of bearing. She influences them in action and character. Now, we know that the church is a mother of us all. But the mother has no right to change what the father has ordained and established. And the Bible said that the Father seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I don't care what the church says. I know what the Father says. Let me tell you, religion, and it can come into Pentecost if we're not careful, can start trying to sedate us and cause us to become dull and go from dull to quiet. But I'm here to tell you, brother and sister, you better wake up and understand one thing. We do not have to succumb to that. And we don't have to be married into that family either, praise God. Because the Father said, you worship me in spirit and in truth, praise God. Because it's the Father that gives the child its blood and its name. It's the authority that comes from the Father. Oh God, does anybody hear what I'm saying? Woo! The Father desires for sons and daughters to praise Him. The Bible said the scepter shall not depart from Judah. From the lineage of praise was to come Jesus, the Messiah. The devil knew that, so he attacks the sons of praise. Those that were born to praise. You were put here to praise God. Don't you ever forget that. And you never get too old to do it either. You never graduate from it either. I don't care if you snore in Hebrew and dream in Greek. I don't care how smart you are. It don't matter to me. You need to wake up and understand you were put here to praise God. The scepter shall not depart from praise. And from that lineage of praise was to come Messiah. The devil knew that, so he attacks the sons of praise. Those that were born to praise. Haven't you feel like you've been under spiritual attack? Come on, raise your hand. Wave your hand. You were put here to praise. So the eldest son of Judah, was given a wife also. Her name was Tamar, or unconcerned. To carry on the promise that was given to praise, it should have been Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and But with potential and royal authority, he had the blood of his father praised. He had the name given to him by his father praised. But he did not have the desire to raise up seed to praise. And God became angry. I'm going to tell you what makes God mad. Is when you preach something you don't live. When you say you're a praiser, but you don't ever praise. The denominational world preaches about praise, but nobody does it. So there's a generation coming up right now that's as lost as they can be. And the immorality is sweeping across our land under the guise of religion as we live right now. But let me tell you, you've got to have a desire to praise. You don't fool with God when it comes to your potential and possibilities of raising up seed to praise. The Bible said in Genesis 38:7, the Lord slew him. And Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. You want to die? You want God to take vengeance on you when He has brought the potential, the royal authority in your life, and you refuse to raise up seed to praise. So in Genesis 38:8, Judah turned to Onan I said, all of this a command. Go into thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to praise. The seed's got to live. There's got to be praise. The seed of praise has got to live. But he refused the command of praise. And when you refuse the command of praise, the Bible said he wasted the seed upon the ground. And it displeased God, and God killed him. He slew him. Here. Promise of God. Here we have the wasted potential of God. Here we have the wasted plan of God. Here is the wasted purpose. Here is the wasted presence of God upon a people who refuse to carry on praise. What happens in an apostolic church when praise comes and we refuse? When the presence moves in and we refuse? Hey, it's not going to jump from this pulpit to the center. If you think it's going to jump from me to the center, or the preacher to the center, you're wrong. Say to God, if the sinner feels it, it's got to go through you to get to him. It's got to go through you to get him. If you don't get it, they won't get it. If you don't feel it, they won't feel it. If you're not in it, they won't get in it. You've got... Come on! Come on! You can't just sit back there while the praise of God enters a place and you do nothing. It's not going to affect or infect anybody. Oh, God. Here, we see the wasted promise of God, the wasted potential of God, the wasted plan of God, the wasted purpose of God. It's wasted. I'm going to tell you the reason that I'm not blessed any more than I am is I've wasted so many times the presence of God. I felt it move on me, but I refused to allow God to bless me. The greatest waste in the world is for people to feel the presence and hear the call to praise and to waste their opportunity. What was wasted? The promise of God was spilled on the ground. Well, where did he go? Look at your neighbor and say, where did he go? Where did all the generations that was to come from Onan go? Where did all the praisers from Judah go? Into the heart of the earth. Into the bowels of the earth. The Bible says that Ur and Onan died in Canaan. They died in Canaan. They died right in the middle of the glory and the power of Almighty God. I may die, Bubba, but I won't be dying in the midst of what God's doing. You hear me? For you to die in the presence and the power of revival and God conquering territories, that is a waste. Do you hear me? That's a waste. The Lord said, hey, I put you in the middle. How can you die in Canaan? So close, but yet so far away. How can you die with all the power and glory and revelation and support? They died in a place where they should have lived. You can't let the... Let me tell you some people. You can't let the failures of others kill your praise. I've watched backsliding people kill the praise of people that were friends to them. You can't let that happen. You can't get too attached to people. You got to get attached to Jesus. You can't let the failures of your family and your friends and your loved ones kill the potential of praise in your heart and life. Do you hear me? You can't let anything like that stop your praise. There are victims right here today that are victims of abuse, hurting people that I'm preaching to right now, that's gone through a lot, but you hear what it said. The scepter's not going to depart from you. Don't let the devil lie to you. God's going to finish what He started. The scepter's not going to depart from praise. If you're a praiser, brother, you get ready. The scepter's not going to depart from it. I said, God may have to drain the ocean with a thimble or lash a hurricane under subjection with a straw, but He's going to make sure His promises stand true. He's going to declare the end from the beginning. God's not through. The devil's the one that's a liar. Notice something. The seed was not dead. It was only wasted. Its potential still lived. Hear me. The tribe of Judah, the Savior, was to come. And when He came, don't you think He knew and knows the wasted potential, the wasted lives of people who are supposed to be a part of what God has planned? I got loved ones that are supposed to be a part. You've got backslid children that are supposed to be a part. Some of them are supposed to be in this camp meeting right now, shouting around the front. How many of you have got lost children? You've got loved ones that you know God promised you. God promised you. They're supposed to be a part of this. They're supposed to be in this. My God, that God gave you that promise. But it is not dead. It is only wasted. And don't you think He didn't know where the wasted seed was? He robed Himself in flesh and came to this world looking. The disciples came and said, Lord, these people are making too much noise. He said, if they hold their peace, the rocks are fixing to cry out. He came to a world that was looking. He severed the abuse of a world that did not understand His purpose. They ridiculed and mocked Him, falsely accused Him, and with cruel hands, they nailed Him to a cross. Pleading and suffering, He cried, Eli, Eli, la Masaniah, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died. He died. Look at somebody and tell him He died. Isaiah said, behold, He goes to the Lamb to the shears. He humbled Himself, became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross. Tell somebody else He died. He died till the sun refused to shine. He died until the earth got nervous and couldn't take it anymore. He died till the veil rent from top to bottom in the temple. He died till law turned loose and went to grace. He died until blessings turned to cursings. And cursings turned to blessings. Let me tell you something, people. He died. Somebody say He died. He died till the centurion said, surely, this must be the Son of God. He died till the thief said, remember me when you come to your kingdom. He died till graves opened up all over Jerusalem. Look at somebody else and say He died. 1 Peter 3:19 said, and when I read this, by which He also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Where did He go? He went down. He went down. He went down in the inner recesses of the earth. And He wasn't just looking for the keys of death and hell. I tell you what He was looking for. He was looking for the wasted seed. He was looking for the seed of praise. It went in the bowels of the earth. And I'm here to tell you, He went looking for the wasted seed of praise. And let me tell all of you one thing. He's looking for your children. He's looking for your grandchildren. He's looking for your daddy. He's looking for your mama. I made up my mind not long ago. I'm going to start praising God for my mama's salvation. And she'd been lost for years. I said, I'm making up my mind. I'm going to praise God for her salvation. And I just got to shout one night and thanking God. I said, Lord, she's not dead. The promise is only wasted. It's just wasted. It looks like the earth has swallowed them up. Have you got kids and children and mamas and daddies? It looks like the earth has swallowed them up. God, it looks like the earth has swallowed my husband up. The earth has swallowed my wife up. They're so lost, so blind. But I started praising God for the salvation. I got a phone call that said, your mama just got the Holy Ghost. I talked to the pastor and said she was shouting all over the church house Sunday night. And guess what? My daddy called me. I got to shout for my daddy who's never had the Holy Ghost. He's been supervisor 24 years, retired. I got comfortable. But I started shouting for him. He called me not long ago and said, would you baptize me in Jesus' name? You feel like the earth has swallowed them up? They're not dead. They're only wasted. They're only swallowed up out of the earth. But Jesus. Jesus went down and he's looking for that potential. He's looking for your boy. He's looking for your girl. He's looking for your mama. He's looking for your daddy. He's looking for your husband. He's looking for your wife. Somebody needs to get up and say, God, bring my children back in the kingdom. I want you, if you got lost children, you got lost children, I want you to run to this altar. Don't just stand back there. You better be up here, because let me tell you, you better run right now. I got lost babies. I got lost. And you promise. How many here, God promise you they're going to be saved? Raise your hand. Come on, God promise you they're going to be saved. Wave your hand. How about you ought to be waving your hand? Come on, wave them. God promise me that we're going to get in the church and live for God. God promise me that. They're not dead. They're only wasting. The earth has swallowed them up. But I got a promise. The scepter shall not depart. It's not going to. It never has and never will. And God made that promise. And he's going to live up to that promise. Come on! My children are going to be saved. My children are going to heaven. Come on, mama, cry. Come on, mama, shout. Come on, daddy. Come on, daddy. Oh, they're not dead. They're only wasted. That's right, Brother King. Brother Cannon, I feel your spirit. Let me tell all of you people back there. You better be weeping and crying. If your children's in church, you ought to be praising God. But you ought to be praying for these. Oh God, that's up here. The Lord promised them, my babies are not going to hell. My babies are not cardboard for hell. My babies are going to be saved. My babies are going to heaven. Oh God, you didn't give it to me for them to be lost. My seed is not dead. My seed is only wasted. It's wasted. It's wasted. I lay hands on every one of you right now. You can feel my hand on your brow right now. I'm laying hands on every one of you right now. Oh, come on. Come on. My kids were raised in church. My kids know what the power of God is. Oh, but the earth has swallowed them up. The earth has swallowed them up. Oh, God, preacher. Jesus is looking for them right now. He's trying to find them right now. He's not just looking for the keys of death and hell. He's looking for the lost and the wasted seed of praise. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh God, if you knew right now, if you knew right now, and if I praise God with a pure heart, they would come home. They would come back into the kingdom. How would you praise Him? How would you praise Him? If you knew that you would praise Him with a pure heart, they would make their way back. Oh, come on, people. Oh, come on right now. Come on, pray for one another. I feel your pain. I feel your heartbreak. Oh, God. Save the children. Save the families. Save the families of the apostolic saints of God who the devil is trying to say they're wasted. It's the wasted seed. But there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection of the wasted seed coming. Jesus is going down in the darkness. He's going down into their sin. They know too much. The light don't even shine. We got to find the place, God. The foundation with praise. Glory. Hallelujah. This is where we come to tear down the great chains. Find the
I'm gonna praise God for our salvation. I'm gonna praise God for our salvation.
We got a right to shake the foundation with praise. Glory. This is what we come to do. Tear down strongholds, great chains.
Come on! If you got lost family, you got lost children.
The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming.
Oh, the young come to the Lord. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. My babies are coming back. My children are coming back. Come on, my children are coming back. My grandchildren are coming back. I'm coming back to God.
The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy. The Lord is worthy.
Woo! Come on.
Tonight, we got a right.
We got a right.
Take the foundation with praise. Glory. Hallelujah. This is what we've come to do. Tear down strongholds, break chains. Find the devil in Jesus' name. Tonight, we got a right.
Ninety 90% of the people up here weeping their eyes out. Over lost children. Do you know what kind of church the church would be if all of our kids come home? Do you know what? If all of the potential that God promised us would come back into the kingdom of God, I'm here to tell you, they're not dead, they're only wasted. And don't let the devil lie to you. He's going to finish what he started. If God begun the good work, he's going to finish it. But let me tell you something. I know this sounds crazy. I know this sounds like some kind of a hype. But I made up my mind I'm going to praise God like my mama was already saved. What would you do right now if you got a call and said that child just prayed through? How would you act right now? What would you do right now? You understand they're not dead. I said they're not dead. The sea is still alive. It just swallowed up. Of all the earth, they swallowed it up. The world caught out of the flesh. It's all swallowed up. But I'm telling you, the potential still lives. Woo! The scepter shall not depart. It's not going to depart. Thank God, I feel it. Have the machidaya. I want you to see them talking in tongues. I want you to visualize them talking in tongues. Visualize them shouting. Oh, visualize you shouting in the altar with them right now. Visualize them praising God. Come on, visualize it. Come on, praise God. I don't care what it looks like, that's my children. I don't care what it looks like, that's my babies. Hallelujah. And I know they're not dead. The potential's still alive. It's only wasted. But there's a resurrection coming of the wasted seed. The scepter shall not depart.